My name is Alan Dunlop. I'm founding director of FAVE Mission, which was founded 20 years ago in Eastern Kenya by my wife Irene and myself. We left a 20-year ministry to go to serve those who were less fortunate than ourselves. The Lord blessed that decision, and today we're in blessing, and we thank Him and Him alone for that. In my time in Kenya, and I'm still working there, by the way, but we do have a family, the Davidson family, who are overseeing the work this past 6 years. But I'm still involved. In our time there, it became my custom that when I would come upon a car wreck, as they say here in the States, that I would check the dead to see if there were anybody, especially if it was up on our side, I would check the dead to see if any belonged to us, maybe a member of staff traveling, maybe a friend, whatever. This day we were in town, Wingy Town, and I was in the post office, and I saw a girl called Phyllis, a lovely, quiet, inoffensive girl, not very well schooled, but her nature shone forth. And I saw her in the post office, or posta, as they call it, and she smiled a big, wide smile. And we talked, and she had her hair, which I term in tight little curls tied, which I call the Mau Mau style. The terrorist Mau Mau used to tie their hair short to keep out the lice and the vermin that were causing them problems. So Phyllis had her hair newly done in this Mau Mau style, little turrets of hair, tufts of hair tied. And she had on a hold-all bag on her back. And we talked and we said goodbye. My wife and I headed back home to our compound, and we came on a wreck. It was a public vehicle. It had rolled. And as we drove up, I could see a body lying down. The road was banked up, and there was a steep ditch. I could see a body covered with a sack. I said, let me check this body. I got out, I checked, I pulled the sack back. The first thing I noticed was a hairdo. It was Phyllis. She had only been dead minutes. And I had seen her just 1 hour previously. And it shocked me. So I didn't touch anything. Her bag was sitting on the roadside. I didn't touch anything. I just ascertained who she was. Couldn't see any marks of injury. Pulled the sack back and went on about my business. I went to our compound. I said, Phyllis, I think it was Phyllis, was in an accident. Although I was sure, but I didn't want to. I was sure personally, but I didn't want to spread it abroad too much in case there was some mix-up. So everybody was sad. Then Phyllis's relatives, who were expecting her to come, when she didn't come, they made phone calls. No, she's not here. So 3 or 4 days later, her uncle said, was there not an accident there? Let me go to the mortuary. And sure enough, he found her in the mortuary. She would have been unclaimed had it been anywhere else, because no one contacted. That's not how it's done there. If the relatives don't look after you, the police don't do that. That's not what they do. And so it was a double tragedy. Not only was the girl killed, but her relatives lost her for those days. And but for the uncle having that thought, she would have lain in the mortuary for until the government decided there's too many here, we take them out and put them in a mass grave. Things like that happen. Death is ever present, ever present. The people are resilient to it. But I know by living among them for 20 years, I know that although they don't show the emotion the same as we might do, yet their heart weeps just the same.